Hey, beautiful people. Welcome to episode 43 of Off Color Cast. We are a segmented EDH podcast that loves to discuss the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome of EDH or Commander. Got a loaded show for you here today, kids. A ton of people. I'm Chris, of course. I play EDH and I'm Butthole. I have four guest hosts with us today. Let's talk to the first two first, though. Got my boy Cassidy Silver over at the TCG Player. He writes the things over there. Why don't you say hi to the kids at home there, Cassidy?
Hello. Kids at home. I write a TCG Player. Every Thursday, usually, the article comes out, and it happens every week unless Conley Woods has a bunch of articles that preempts me.
He's an ugly man. Does he have, like, some sort of glandular disease?
I don't know. He seems like a Magic player to me.
We are all pretty hideous.
Yes.
All right. Next up, another fine guest host for y'all. It's some dude who does nothing, but his name is Calvin, a.k.a. Captain Redson on the internet. Why don't you say hello to everybody here?
Hey, everybody. This is Calvin. As Chris pointed out, I'm also known as Captain Redson on the internet. I'm the aggressive player, usually the one who plays tokens and red and Boros and beats face and burns and random things like that.
All right. And now we've got one of the pride of Magic internet, the pride of Erie. You know him as Norbert. Why don't you say hello? Loves the Thieving Magpie here. Say hello to the kids at home.
Hey, how's it going? This is Jonathan, Norbert88 on Twitter and every Magic site online. I like playing Commander and Cube, so that's why I'm here, I guess.
You're not sure yet. You just got a message, and it's like, okay, sure, guys. Whatever. All right, and then finally, we've got a Twitter rabble-rouser, yells at people who do Cube shit. There are maybe 100 of you know who he is, but it's our boy Dr. Ruler here, first time on the show. First time I think anybody's heard his voice. Why don't you say hello to everybody?
I refuse.
Too late. You've done it now. Oh, wait. We all must also mention that he is in the wonderful country of Mexico right now.
Hola.
Hola.
Don't drink the water, boy.
Oh, my God. It's too late for that. Don't ever fucking eat food down here.
But I like Mexican food.
Hey, well, let's let the man talk about himself for a little bit.
Mexico is not okay.
Okay.
Come on, greet the kids, man. Do it.
Anyway, I'm Dr. Ruler everywhere on the internet. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Ruler. I talk about Cube, EDH Cube, and EDH at any point in time, all of the time. And I make fun of Gudongs all day.
That's pretty much what we all do on the internet, I think. I don't know how I'd get through my workday without Gudongs. Okay, beautiful people. So the reason that we brought our esteemed Dr. Ruler and our also esteemed Johnny Boy here was we want to talk about something that I haven't seen much lately, and it kind of had a boom for a little bit, and then everybody who seemed to be doing it died. That's what I've decided happened, because they all became quiet. And that would be the Commander Cube, a very huge undertaking, which I've always found super interesting, because you can't bitch about cards so much, because everybody gets to play with the same shit. And Dr. Ruler's been working really hard on his EDH Cube, and he's been documenting a lot of shit. Noth has a lot to say, and I figured I'd give him a platform to talk about it. So why don't you talk about why you started building an EDH Cube in the first place?
Essentially, I got done unproxying my real cube, realized I had expendable income and a terrible addiction. So I said, what's the next cube I should build? So I went into my commander collection, pulled out about 1,000 cards, and ended up with another cube. Essentially, cube is split up by generals and non-generals. I went through, found out after doing some research, because I guess I should start here. Derp. 3 years ago now, when EDH Cube was nothing on the internet and EDH was still the proper name for the format, a buddy of mine and myself on Magic Online decided we wanted to build such a thing. It turned out terribly, because it turns out even on MTGO, it'll still cost you over $500 to build a thing, and we were both poor college kids. Last year, I finished unproxying my cube. Well, I guess 6 months ago. And then I decided to build a second cube, put together the first revision of my EDH cube, which has been revised significantly. I've upped it by about 100 cards since then to 1,000. I've changed out the commanders a bunch of times and changed out support cards for them. Because as it turns out, Curiosity is a terrible card. But essentially, that's how I came to my current EDH cube was I found there wasn't a lot of documentation for it anywhere online. There's a couple on the Salvation forums, and one or two if you search Tapped Out Just Right. But essentially, I pulled a bunch together for suggested cards and then added some of my own. That's how I came to it.
That's cool. Kids at home, I just want you guys to know, if you want to hear the real basics about EDH Cube, I would recommend going to CommanderCast Season 5, Episode 6, because they had a few of the EDH Cube people on there, and they discuss, you know, the how do you draft it? What is an EDH cube? Shit like that. The only thing that really changes from thing to thing is how people do the generals. So why don't you tell how your draft group takes the generals out of there, Dr. R.
All right. So essentially, there's a lot of different ways that they can do them. In our group, it's a 1,000-card cube, of which 55 are generals, which I'm debating upping to 60 that we'll talk about later. But the first thing we do is rotisserie draft the 55 generals, which I find to be the best way to do it. You place all 55 out on the table, and you go around the table, roll for first or whatever. You're going to have the first person pick their first choice of general, take it off the table, so on and so forth till you get to the eighth person, or the whatever the last person on the table is. That person picks twice, and then you reverse the order. This is so if you had to pick 8th place, you also get to pick 9th, which gives you a slight advantage on the backswing. We found the ideal amount was 3 generals, but we've done with only 2 and we've done with up to 5, but it gets iffy after you get too many generals in your head. But we found 3 was ideal, and so it goes first to last, last to first to last. So you end up with 3 generals. And then you do your drafting after that, yes.
I got a bit of an asinine question. Do the undrafted generals get seeded into the packs then, or are they just all?
No, for 2 reasons. First of all, it just adds more of the there's too many generals in my pool now. And, well, I guess 3 parts then. The second bigger one is it leads to the more nerve-wracking picks of making sure you get the general you want and maybe some general who's good in your deck, like wanting to get Tulsimer and Rise or something, or Rise and some other token general. I don't like token decks. I don't know why I picked that option. But essentially, the third reason is I don't like sorting out my goddamn generals 3 hours after the draft is over.
That makes a lot of sense there. All right, so one more follow-in with that, and then I'm going to stop asking really stupid questions and move on to just stupid ones. And are there any utility legends in the cube that didn't make it to the general pool?
Yes, tons of them. I believe the
Orn the Blur.
Well, actually, he might have been in one of my drafts, but he's not in my current draft because he required too many special cards to abuse him. But no, I've got like Rexxeel the Risen Deep doesn't make the top 3 blue-black generals to just flat-out pick, but he's such a good card that I keep him in there, just like Sig River Cutthroat. Although he's not in the top 3 for flavor reasons, like you want to pick him out the gate. Most people love having him in the deck, and there's a couple people who will audible to him.
What are the top 3 then?
Blue-black, you know? It's got changed again. No, Ona's also in there. Blue-black is the really stacked one. The top 3 right now, it changes around a bit, but right now it's Vela, Drelnu, because he's basically a more competitive Rexxeel. He makes you want the colors more usually, at least in my group. And we're trying out in the 3rd slot, no face, what's his name? The new guy.
Oh, Lazav.
Yeah, Lazav. But they're currently the top 3, and then the others are all in the blue-black section of the cube. But essentially, if you are wondering how the rest of my cube is drafted, it's incredibly long. It's actually a downside to EDH cube. It's you rotisserie draft your generals, and then it's 7 packs of 15 cards, sometimes 8, depending how drunk we are. And it takes a little over 2 hours, meaning you can put on a Lord of the Rings movie and basically be building your deck when the credits roll. It's a time-consuming process, but it's absolutely awesome, and I would probably just draft nonstop, given the chance, because I'm more of a deck builder than a deck player.
Yeah, I was going to say, after you get drafting, do you sometimes just do another draft instead of actually playing?
My buddy and I are both huge deck builders, so we always would rather draft and play again. It's the same with my normal cube. Like, we would rather play a single game or none at all and just draft and rebuild just to get a new deck. But strategies for doing the general draft, basically, since it's happening first, you know you can craft your deck around your general. And you know no one else is going to be looking for this general if there's key cards for them. But at the same time, you know what other people took, so you can be an asshole. Like, I've never seen anyone slam a Necropotence harder than the guy who knew the guy next to him was in the general themselves. Often lead you into picking whatever your first choice of general is, whether it be a 3-color, 2-color, 5-color, whatever. And then you tend to either build a wedge or a shard out of your next two picks, unless you have a general who you want as an underling. I know a lot of people will do 2-color, 2-color sharing a color, and then tri-color in case they screw up the draft. All the fixing is in the draft itself, so that's a major player is... You take fixing incredibly high in draft. It makes 5-color incredibly difficult to play, but at the same time really rewarding when you pull it off. Yeah, but that basically sums up the general process.
And you all got any questions for any of the stuff we've been talking about here, kids?
No, that was pretty well explained. I couldn't add anything of value.
When's that ever stopped you before?
Well, it's the first time for everything, I guess.
Okay, so... I always thought one of the more interesting things about cubes was what archetypes were supported. So what decks do you go out of your way to make sure are supported in your EDH cube? Also, is Karavek in the red-black section?
Yes, Karavek is among my 3 all-time. I will slam this general. I love that guy.
Is there enough troll support in red-black for him?
Oh, yeah. I have basically think that I would play in Karavek is in red-black because red is incredibly easy to do that with. And black, it works with Karavek, and it usually works with Rakdos, and it tends to work with Kresh and someone else it spills into. So I found the black Karavek cards are actually incredibly useful in a lot of decks, and you can play whatever the fuck you want in your red section because there are no good red EDH cards.
Kiki Jiki.
Okay, Kiki Jiki, yeah.
I just bought a Land's Edge. That's an awesome card.
Yeah, sweet for Boba Rigmos.
Yeah, well, it's Rith. But Bobo Rigmos is in it.
Right.
Bobo didn't make my top 3 generals for the draft, but he's in the cube. But I have all of his support cards, so I'm not sure if I should make him in the top 3. I don't know if anyone would pick him.
I would. He's awesome.
Has anyone actually played with him? Like, I haven't really...
Not yet. I have him sitting in a box, but he hasn't assembled yet.
Yeah, my brother actually built him, and I play against it a lot, and I've, like, borrowed the deck and played against it. It's pretty awesome.
You play single player, though, don't you? Or, well, you play 1v1, don't you?
Yeah, and, you know, some multiplayer games, too. Basically, like Storm Cauldron and, like, Creeping Renaissance is like, I win. Basically, that's the game, you know.
Storm Cauldron's so godlike.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty fun. It plays with a lot of land destruction, too, like Creeping Mold, or not Creeping Mold, but, Monvali Acid Moss and shit, so, like, it's ramp, you know, Reaven Sow and stuff, so it's a pretty fun deck. I enjoy it.
Okay, boys. My question here is, if I actually, after I picked the 3 initial generals from the draft, if I happen to pick a general from the, when we're drafting cards for the decks, if I find a legendary creature in it that I actually like over the ones I've picked, is it possible to use it as my general, or does it have to go in the deck?
Oh, yeah, you can use it as your general. You pick 3 generals, do the draft, and then build your deck, including your general. Because essentially, what you want to do is draft for the general you want, but often you'll pick a general that's slightly more open just in case you have to audible. Because if it was locked in from the first pick, you'd be pretty screwed when it came to drafting and 2 people to the left of you are in the same colors. Okay, so I finally found the list of generals.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, another thing worth mentioning is my cube is much larger than ones you'll find on, like, Salvation forums. They irk around the 600 range. I started out at 900 and ended up at 1,000. Don't know how that happened, but I think it's more enjoyable. But a lot of them, again, this is a difference in how the drafts work out. They like to do 40-card decks or 60-card decks with their general. I like to do it real EDH, where you have to play a 100-card deck with your general when you're done, which is why I give you 7 boosters.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do, like, a crappy 30-card EDH game. I'd probably just rather...
And a lot of that is things like, I really don't want to play against the guy who got his 3 combo pieces and he's only got a 40-card deck.
Yeah. Just one more... I guess I do have a bit of a logistical question. Is your draft size usually four people, or is it larger than that?
I find it's really hard to get the draft to have enough card variants in it to play two-color decks and such, unless you have at least five or six people, which means my cube doesn't get played that often for the DH cube. I think I've played it a grand total of three or four times now in 6 months. It's incredibly fun, but it requires a lot of time and people. A lot of the time it's like, oh, we only have 3 hours together, let's break out the real cube, or... oh, there's only four of us. Let's just play our EDH decks.
Or if it's just you and that one guy, you're like, let's just draft it.
I think doing a rotisserie draft with this thing would just be horrible.
Archetypes, that's right. That's what I was going
to say. Yes. Okay, so let me open up right here, and I will start talking. In blue, white, and green, I have a very strong aura archetype support, mostly because two of the colors are for Earl. That's his name. And then... we've also got, where is that? Yes, Bruna's in there.
Zur.
Zur falls under the...
dickhead category?
White, the white and the blue. But Zur only really needs, like, five auras to be a nightmare to deal with. So Sigarda's in there. That's the other main one. Basically, any Voltron general, Rafik, all of them I found deal really well with auras. And the reason I have such strong aura support is within a single draft, we realized you basically couldn't play Jor-Kadeen because even with the amount of equipment I had in the original list, the problem with equipment is people will pick it highly because it doesn't give them a color choice, and usually it's incredibly strong. So it just ends up being... yeah, so we found you couldn't play Jor-Kadeen at all. Because what will happen is everyone will pick the artifacts highly and everyone's going to pick equipment highly because it'll probably benefit your deck and it doesn't give you a color issue. So what I did was up support for Jor-Kadeen by adding more equipment, and I also added a lot more auras. If it's in your color, you usually get more use out of a single swing with a powerful aura than you can with an equipment. So Sigarda would usually rather have an aura. Rafik would usually rather have an aura and just one-shot you. So hopefully there's the chance that equipment will go farther. And still, auras are a huge theme in those colors to begin with. In the Bant colors, auras is a big one. I have basically every tokens support you could think of because token support is very simple. There's only like 20 of them that are really required that aren't just good stuff cards. And of those 20, most of them are like doubling season, which if you play it, the Planeswalker is already stupid. In green-white, we've got a lot of support for tokens, which works well for Ryze and Tristani. And the token support spills into other colors, too. Dave is a big one in the black-white-green section. What else do we have here? Red-white has a big support for extra attack phase cards I've filled red with to the brim.
Since red was so open, you could just do whatever you wanted with it.
You can do anything in red because there's not enough good red cards.
Did you just throw every Wheel of Fortune in there?
Yes, every Wheel of Fortune is in here.
Argus Cost?
Argus Cost is in there. He's not in the top three anymore, though, because we've had like a solid two extra generals added that are both great. Gisela and Arulia.
Fully understandable.
I'm going to guess Sunforger probably didn't make it in.
No, Sunforger made it.
Oh, sweet. I just wasn't sure if there was going to be enough build around me Sunforger crap with it.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. I actually thought of it the one day and I counted up.
Could you conceivably draft the Nut Sunforger deck?
Probably. I'm looking at, I think I'm already at 20 just in white. Yeah, you can easily do this. I have not tried playing Jor-Kadeen myself. My brother was the one who first rage quit Jor-Kadeen. I had a friend pilot him pretty well the next draft after I upped the artifact count and all that. I don't think I ever saw his Sunforger, but it is definitely in here because it is one of my favorite cards in that section. Again, Boros is probably the worst of the multicolors. It's just that, like, they could print an all Boros, all red set specifically for EDH, and I still wouldn't fill this cube.
Red. We hardly knew you.
Yeah, if they cut a color from Magic and it was red, I'd be okay as long as they split the cards between the other colors.
No way, cut blue.
Well, no, if you cut blue, green and black become the best, so you have to cut both of those too, and then Magic just becomes Boros.
Which is just white with splash red for some removal.
I think we just solved what was wrong with EDH.
Everybody plays Boros.
Yeah, all Boros all the time.
I would have absolutely no problem with that list.
Yeah, me either. Giselle is awesome.
So do you have more cards for the other guilds, or are they all pretty equal?
Every guild has 20 cards in it split between lands and non-lands, which I believe is a 11-9 or 10-10 split. And so essentially there are 10 guild cards and 10 lands for your guild to fix with. But you'll find if you can grab three of them, you'll be lucky because there's probably someone playing in a wedge in your colors and there's probably a five color player and you're probably only drafting 70% of the cube. So picking lands is incredibly important if you're in three colors, and it's pretty important in two colors, but if you've got green, you've probably got enough fixing with the ramp. And honestly, most two color never really needed that many non-basics.
So a question, do you have like all the different cycles for each of the guilds, like the guild mages and the charms and the gates or whatever? Or is it just like whatever happens to be on there for the guild to make that final 20?
Yeah, originally I tried for it just to like try pushing it, but even like in normal cube, it was like, within one playthrough of normal cube, you realize that not all cycles are created equal. And even in EDH cube, there are just bad cards and cycles that should not be there. Glenalendra Archmage, or not, no, Glenalendra Liege is not very good for blue-black, because blue-black doesn't care about making dudes bigger. We ended up cutting her, we ended up cutting one of the other lieges that isn't any good. So it ends up really fast, things deteriorated into their own separate, like, archetype support, rather, where I basically went down each two-color pair. Real quick general thing, I forgot about this. My 55 generals are split up between, there are three of each guild, which is 30 of each guild then, or 30 of guild overall, rather, and then two of each shard, so you've got 20 shard generals, shard plus wedge, I guess, and then five color generals, which are basically there because Scion wants to be there and I wanted to round out to a real number. I have had good luck playing with Horde of Notions, though. He is a very powerful general that's very underrated in five colors. 5/5, Vigilant, Haste, maybe Trample, I forget. Or no, is he a 7/7? I can't remember. He is awesome. He's a 7/7. What a champion.
Better than Chromat.
Yeah, Chromat's in there. Chromat made that cut. Five color is pretty bad as a section. I think Silver Queen made it, and I just don't like her. She's there for, like, good stuff support. Child of Alara has support, but you'd have to, like, really push to play a lands deck with Child. I know someone tried it once but fell on their face. As for each guild, essentially, like, green-black has cards like, we got Gerard's Orders, we've got the basic good stuff like Putrefy and Pernate, obviously, but then it's, like, Korfshak Menace support cave. Then we've got Gerard's Orders for Gerard and a couple other ones who are in his section. We've got support for Glissa in there. We've got Life Death in there because it goes well with Gerard. And then like Dimir's got a bunch of artifact cards to deal with the fact that Dimir shares with Esper. Esper loves artifact. And then Azorius has a bunch of auras. You got Steel of the Godhead, Righteous Authority. Yeah, Mist Metal Witch for blinking. Blink is another archetype I love supporting because I love that deck until you accidentally go off infinitely with what's-his-face.
Deadeye Navigator?
Yeah, Boatman. Boatman's a dick. Like, you have this really cool idea for a blink deck. Then you include him, and then you realize you have 40 infinite combos and no one likes you anymore.
I guess we can talk about this a bit later, too, but has he ever been on the chopping block? Or is he just going to stay in?
No, I hate combos that have no turn. Like, a combo that you place on board and then have to wait the whole turn cycle to live and kill everybody, that's fine. A combo that kills one person a turn, that's fine. I don't like combos where you play down both pieces and you go, okay, does anyone have an instant speed response? No, I win. So I tend not to like those, but in EDH cube, they're so rare to come across that no one really feels bad if they accidentally happen. It's not like you built your deck like that on purpose to be a dick to your friends. So I don't really have a problem with that. And half the time, he doesn't buy anything to combo with. He just ends up like blinking Primeval Titan. Oh, the nice thing about an EDH cube, no one can complain about the ban list because it's your own damn format.
Yeah. So Primetime's sitting in there, and he's like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, Primetime and Sundering Titan, who also isn't banned. We banned Vorniclex, though, because I have a very long rant about Vorniclex one day.
Fuck that guy. That's the end of the rant.
No problem. Yeah, that guy sucks.
It gets into game logistics where Primeval Titan, even if the game is focused around him, creates proactive play. Everyone is playing because of the Primeval Titan. They fight harder because of it. Vorniclex creates
a completely stasis game where nobody wants to solve the problem because he only harms the guy who solves it.
So you have a sword slasher.
Where everyone wants it gone. It's something that just makes everyone go, no, you deal with it. So Vorniclex quickly became a very hated thing at tables where it's like, turn three Vorniclex. Okay, I kind of win.
So I'm guessing monocolor is pretty hard to push, but do you have like the big mana black cards in there if anybody wants to try and go that way?
Yes, I just put in Crypt Gas because I love Crypt Gas. I love the idea of mana doubler. I made that deck that Conley Woods played at the Pro Tour. I was playing it, and then the Pro Tour happened, and I didn't know he had a deck tech that day, and I'm like, why the fuck am I playing mirror matches all night? So then I went to watch the Pro Tour because I was down in fucking Mexico at the time, and it was like 2 a.m. Eastern time when I finally got around to watching the day's videos. And I see his deck tech, and I'm like, you son of a bitch!
Yeah, I just got four Crypt Ghasts. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but I have them.
Put it in Karavik. That's what I did. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
I love Karavik.
Man, I don't know if I can cut Train Dorg for Crypt Ghast, though.
Yeah, you can. You can, trust me. Yeah. It's awesome.
As further support for Big Black, because I don't know if any of the other colors would even want them, do you have, like, Cage Sun and all those stupid things? Well, I mean, awesome things. I love them, but...
There's a color that doesn't want Cage Sun?
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about, like, big mana in general. Like,
yeah, I've got all the basic mana doublers. There's a lot of room, actually. When you have a list that's 1,000 cards, you can actually squeeze in quite a lot you like. And then it's surprisingly hard to make cuts later, which is hilarious. I'm like, I've got 1,000 cards here, and I can't cut one of them to put this in.
Can you draft monocolor, or is that pretty much impossible?
That's a whole section we're going to do in a bit. Yeah, I've got all the big mana doublers here. Like, I've got mana reflection. Got doubling cube in there. I've got all the basic artifact ones in there. I think upwelling's in there for some reason that I hate. Upwelling just leads to annoying times.
Is Omnath in there?
Omnath is totally in there. I love Omnath.
Sweet Nath.
I mean, the other colors have their support cards, but honestly, if you can think of an archetype, it's probably supported, and it's got quite a few support cards. Like, we've got a lot of reanimation support. We've got a lot of graveyard play support. A lot of sacrifice support for Savra and basically any Jund general. Aura support we talked about, artifact support we talked about.
How about alt win cons? Is Mill good enough in your cube, or is Mill just bad in Magic in general to try and do it?
I want to have another rant on that one.
How about Infect?
Infect is in there because Skittles is in there, and I love Sweet. Skittles. I will audible to her if I can pick her in the first pack or two just to try it. But I have never gotten to do that yet. It's one of the few things I would probably try monocolor for.
Should support Karn. That'd be fun.
Oh my god, that would be impossible. pick enough lands.
Yeah, you have to luck sack into every single colorless land.
Yeah, I'd have to at least let you play basic lands in that deck. And you'd still only have like 15 playable cards, because then you'd have to pick every artifact you found. Well, you'd probably get like 20, but half of them would be like equipment for Karn, and that'd be it. Or mana doublers, which would be so useful without anything to cast.
Or you can make them with like 5/5 beaters, right?
Yeah. For some reason, Blightsteel Colossus is in my... Oh, this is my old list. I cut Blightsteel Colossus because he's never been fun in any format ever.
You have Tinker?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think it's relevant.
Oh, man. I wanted to Tinker into Blightsteel, man.
Hold on. Nope, I don't have Tinker. Yeah, I think part of my reasoning for that was I couldn't find enough reason to have Tinker. Because the only thing that's, like, here is the big bomby cards in Colossus. We've got It That Betrays You Can't Tinker For. I cut Blightsteel, so I've only got Darksteel. Ulamog and Kozlik You Can't Tinker For. Artisan You Can't Tinker For. So you've got Sundering Titan, Triskelivus, Triskelion, Pentavis, Memnarch, Mere Battlesphere, Steel Hellkite, Duplicant, Wormcoil. And that's every 6-drop plus that's a creature. And then Akroma's Memorial and Cage Sun and a couple other less relevant cards for non-creatures. So there really wasn't that much to tinker for.
I would tinker for Akroma's Memorial.
We know you would tinker for Akroma's Memorial, Galvin.
In a blue deck.
In a blue deck. Oh, speaking of that, is the Edric archetype supported with a bunch of stupid evasive blue and green dickheads?
Edric was the first general I tried to play in my own queue, and God did it suck.
It turned out I had, like, I think when we counted it up in the end, I only had, like, 10 mana dorks in the cube and only, like, 5 blue cards that were a 3-drop or less that were creatures. So to up his support, it took a lot of changeouts. I think I about doubled both those numbers and got him some decent support. He can never be like the Edric you'll find on MTGO where some dick has gotten like every single card imaginable for it. But he's decent now. He's a good general. It was just like that first one blindsided me, and I had to fall into just your basic Momer deck. Because I was like, I'm going to draft Momer, but secretly draft Edric while everyone thinks I'm playing Momer. Then I was like, nope, this is a terrible plan. I was staring at things like Tunnel Vision after I picked Tinker and going, no, I think I'll take this Aether add up because it's a 3-drop blue creature. And I was like, yeah, that's a bad pick.
Quick question here. Since you said your cube is 1,000 cards, how many basic lands do you have like sleeved up in the side to kind of support these archetypes?
It started out with 65 of each, and it turns out that's too few. So we upped it to 80 of each. So whatever 80 times 5 is, I'm tired.
A lot.
400.
Yeah, 400.
So what he's saying there, listeners, is that in his cube, there is no way to just first pick an Ashling and then just kind of take what you want and then just go with 99 Mountain.
No, you're not going to Ashling and 99 Mountain.
No, you gotta go at least, like...
We've been putting it off. Let's talk about Mono Color and my ideas. Because I've done this I've done this a few times now. And through my testing, I have found that I have not put monocolor generals in my general section for a pretty good reason. It is very hard to pick only a single color plus colorless for that long in a draft. You've got 7 packs, which is 105 cards, unless I'm bad at math tonight. And you have 105 cards to get out about 60 useful cards. It's a pretty big ratio to be playing around with there. You've got to pick 60 cards in your color that are hopefully relevant, because again, you're going to find non-relevant cards in your color that you won't want for your general. I don't think Omnath really wants... Omnath is probably a bad example, because Omnath's just a baller.
Ashling.
Okay, but Ashling probably doesn't want... Ashling probably doesn't want Final Fortune. Or Dusk Corona. Well, maybe. She definitely doesn't want Goblin Welder. Goblin Welder's fun, though. That guy is so accidentally hilarious when you realize you don't have to target your own graveyard, even though it's awesome. When you just be like, your Cage Son is now your Grafted War Gear or something I destroyed earlier. You can just completely ruin someone's day like that. It's awesome. I love ruining people's days. Yeah, Ashling also doesn't want, like, 9 drops from what I can tell, unless you're playing, like, the 90 mountain version.
Yeah, the 90 mountain version. Does the EDH cube fall into kind of the same cube mentality where when you first start drafting it, you know, you see, like, a super powerful card and you're like, man, I'm just going to crush face, till you realize it's on a more even level with everything. Do you see that happening in the EDH cube as well, where you're just used to seeing something crush in EDH, but everything's at about that same level? So, I mean, it's better that it's even, but it's you sort of have to get out of the mentality of you're just going to roll people.
Oh, yeah. Let me think of a good example. Like Primeval Titan. Primeval Titan seems really awesome, and then you realize you don't automatically get Ball Coffers and Urbog. Then he doesn't seem as awesome. He's just good when he's getting you Forest Swamp or something. And then there's a lot of things like you'll feel really awesome for getting your hindered tunnel vision combo to kill someone instantly. And then someone accidentally picks up Kiki Jiki and Rezo Angel, and they have something to kill everybody instantly without realizing it, which happened once. It was funny. People don't realize how much Kiki Jiki is just awesome with.
Yeah. I stumbled into that combo on accident, too. I was kind of like, oh, I just won. Yay. And then I used that on purpose.
Are there any more sick cards on the banned list that are in the cube?
I was going to put Balance in because I love Balance and I love Mark Poolart. Balance didn't make it because basically I said Balance isn't very fun for the 6 other people. So Balance didn't make the cut. The Power 9 didn't make the cut because it's not worth it. Although I have debated proxying up a Red Mox because Red could just use the help.
Yeah.
Yeah, legalize it.
You legalize Mox Ruby, man.
Gauntlet of Might wanted it.
I don't have, but I want to put in because red needs the support, even if it's on like perma proxy status, because I don't know why that is hundreds of dollars.
Yo, people love red, man.
Oh, but sorry, back to monocolor generals. So if I were to do monocolor generals, I would increase it to 100 of each colored land. So if someone really had the balls and no one else did red, which is a better chance than you would think at first, you could play Mountain Lady.
Ashling.
You could play Ashling as the mono red general.
And then you just hate draft the entire time.
If I had to pick a general for each color, it would probably be Ashling for red because she plays with high land count. Green has a lot of options because most mono green generals would love extra land, like Azusa is fine. Omnath is great. Either of them would be great for the mono green general. Then we've got black. There's a lot of picks in black. I would argue Skitherix could play by herself. And then you've got support with Drana, who plays very well with a high land count. Korlash is awesome. So black's got a good support for high land count generals. Blue and white get a little iffier, where blue for a mono blue general, I can't think of many that are very fun with a high land count. Maybe blue braids? She'd be interesting, but it's a lot of extra support to toss in for her. I'm trying to remember if she's actually already in the cube as a card. Who else is in here? Arcanus is boring. I wouldn't do him.
The artifact dude with the
Memnarch. I thought you said Tuk-Tuk like you always do, and I'm like, what are you going on about?
Memnarch's actually... Oh, yeah, Braids is in here too. Oh, Trollant. I would definitely allow Trollant for soccer. Oh, no, I like Sakashima in the draft because I think he's too good of a utility card to put him in a general slot. White's the big one, though, because I don't know of a high land count white general, like anyone who would be good with high land count. I mean, you got Runetail, who's an overall good general, 8.5 Tails, who is an overall fine general, and then that's like it. I don't know if I would play Elshnorn with like 50 or 60 land, though. Would I? I've never tried to play an Elshnorn deck.
You wouldn't need that many. You just play with like artifacts.
One of the main issues, though, Mikeyus might be pretty good, actually. Because if you play half your deck as land, he wouldn't be too bad as like a 12-12. Yeah, so white are a bit more iffy. But with the other three colors, yes, I can definitely see monocolor generals in those. I have never supported them. If I did, I would always make sure it's a general I'm okay going like 60 land with. Because there will be bad drafts where you pick the mono red general and someone decided to go Jorkadeen, someone decided to go Krevik, and they both ended up on each side of you, and you just got destroyed in the draft. Those big games happen, and you don't want that guy to be bored for the next hour and a half during the game, or 3 hours if it's two games. One of the big things that's nice about EDH Cube is it feels more like my first EDH deck than it feels my EDH deck I just spent $500 on, because EDH Cube feels like that... You're building with what you have. It's like, I've got a collection of which only 105 of the cards were useful. Here they are in a pile. I better make sure I get 60 of these to work. So EDH Cube is actually very fun in the sense that it feels like that low power game where like Oblation is like a AAA removal spell instead of Often Forgotten. And you're proud to cast your like Unmake, although I don't remember if that just got cut for a new Orzhov card. So I do like the power level. It powers down a lot. It feels a lot more like your early games of EDH where you had a lot more fun than like my friends and I just got together and someone won on turn four.
So you have Goliath Sphinx in there, right?
No.
Well, that's how I remember my first EDH games.
Yes, but that was also your 40th EDH game and your 100th.
And my most recent. I still run Goliath Sphinx all day.
I might have a white general to toss in there, but monocolors.
What's your white general there, Calvin?
Magetta the Lion.
Oh, the Wrath Dude.
Was he the guy who blows people up or no?
Yeah, he blows everybody but himself.
And then he causes you to discard two cards in order to do it. So if you had all those extra lands, like 60 lands or whatever, you could easily get to the 5 mana to cast them and then just have lands to toss out to Wrath.
That's not a bad idea, honestly. Yeah. I like him. I like Mikeyus. That could be a good white one. White and blue are just harder to find a general. I'm okay picking this as my general and just going 50 land or something in the draft. I don't know. So, a big thing with EDH Cube is it's not like I'm going to pick
this and this, and then splash into this color, because you have to play in your general's colors. I do enforce color identity. So there's no blue, black, splash, red, because you pulled Nico Bolas or something. Plus, it would be kind of worthless on a 100-card deck unless you had, like, six tutors. So I find it a harder thing to support the one-color deck. I know with, like, the 40-card versions of EDH Cube, they have an easier time supporting it. Excuse me. It doesn't matter so much if 20 of your cards are land, because Mulligan Onstein will still be all right, probably.
But they're babies.
Yeah. I am not a fan of the 40-card one. I can see an argument for the 60-card one, because honestly, it takes a very long time to draft 100 cards. But that's my thoughts on monocolor.
Have you ever priced the whole cube out?
Not happening.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
I remember our first draft of the EDH cube in paper was like 4-point-something grand, and anything over $20, except for the Power 9, or not the Power 9, sorry, the original 10 duels, and they were the only things that were over $20 in the cube. Everything else was just your basic good stuff EDH cards. The problem with EDH is most cards cost $10.
Yeah.
Like, not fun. I have a lot of these cards because my collection is old / ill-gotten games. I scammed a lot of people in trades during college, which put me in a pretty good position.
you're a terrible man.
I am a terrible man.
Sounds like an awesome man.
Shut up, Cassidy.
I am a businessman at heart.
So let's talk about draft strategy for a little bit then. One thing I always like to ask, and I know fixing is probably taken first. And then
yeah, fixing is huge.
What would you pick over a sword?
Oh, that's hard. See, this is the problem with Jorkadeen. There's not many things you would pick over a sword unless your general specifically doesn't swing. If I'm in a Rise deck, I will slam any big token support card that's not just a good stuff token dude. Like, I wouldn't slam Hero Blade Hold over it, but I would slam, like, Parallel Lives, Doubling Season, anything like that. I'd probably slam a general that I know I like, but wasn't in the original draft. Let's see, what else is really good to slam in there? My dick. I mean, if there's a combo piece with my general, I'd probably pick it, but honestly, I'm not that much of a dick, so I probably wouldn't. I mean, I'm a dick in real life, but I like to play with a certain type of social contract that's barely there. I like Land Destruction. I like Armageddon. I don't like Kiki-Jiki Pester Mike. If the Boros player Armageddons and kills everybody, I find that to be a fun end of a game. If someone casts Kiki-Jiki Pester Mite and kills everybody on that single turn, it's not as fun. But I'd probably pick, like, certain cards for, like, Savage stuff who wouldn't swing.
And even then, the sword's like, well, I could just go on somebody else, you know.
Yeah, that's the big problem with swords. Swords are one of those things that's like, what don't I pick over a sword? Like,
everything about cutting the swords.
No. It's
not that crazy.
In normal cube, I've heard people argue that swords are too pick first and they don't like them and stuff like that. But honestly, in the EDH cube, it's like swords are A, required because Jorkadeen needs more equipment to get printed. You'd be surprised how few good equipment were printed in Magic. They just all tend to be banned within months. The other problem is like the swords aren't that powerful in EDH. Like apart from the black green sword untapping your lands, everything is only like a one mana spell. So they're not that powerful per se, they're just more utility, and they're colorless, which is a huge bonus. There are colorless cards I pick over a sword. I'd probably pick a Coalition Relic for extra fixing if I was in two or three colors, as well as ramp, because it's awesome.
So here's a question. If you had a pack and you had to pick between the untapped land, sword, or a Jit, which would you go for?
Who's my general?
Your choice, because you know this is your thing. So which general would you probably go for?
An attacking dude, I'm gonna guess.
Yeah, if I was any type of ramp general or someone who just slammed like 12 counter spells into my deck, I'd pick the untapped lands. Otherwise, I'd probably pick Jit just because it lets me control the whole table and I'm a blue-black player at heart. Yeah, I just love swinging with a Jit. They kill the creature. They play out their 2/2. I kill it and remind them that Jit doesn't need people. I'd pick Stratoscythe over a sword if I was playing monocolor, even some two-color decks.
Stratoscythe.
That card is awesome. Grafted Exoskeleton, if I want to be a real douchebag.
What was that token that token card you picked up before? It was one of your stupid cards before, Chris. You know what I'm talking about. The green one?
Dual Nature?
There we go. Would you play something like that in your thing for your token strategy?
That's one of the few cards Chris has ever named that I have liked. All the cards to come out of his mouth, that's one of the few I've ever liked. Yes, I would probably give that a shot in one of my like freebie slots near the end of my good stuff list where I get into my more pet cards. Like, I could easily just toss Momentous Fall out of the cube for it for a while and not even notice. There's a lot of cards like that where if it wasn't there, you wouldn't notice. It's just there because it's a decent card. Like Fecundity's in right now because it's extra token support, extra Saver support, but it's one of those cards where if Fecundity wasn't in the cube, you wouldn't realize. It's not like you go, man, I sure hope I find this to go with my other cards. It's just one of those nice surprises in the middle of pack five.
How high do you have to prioritize hate? Like, you know, so that you have answers for enchantments, artifacts, stuff like that.
I prioritize it very highly, but I'm a good Magic player. Usually, I'd say around the middle of the pack, if there's nothing really good for my specific deck, like it just gets into like, I could play Lanwar Elves or some green Creeping Mold. I would pick the Creeping Mold because basically, another dude is okay, something that will stop someone from getting their turn 4/7 drop is better. Or something that takes care of someone's, if Tinker was in the cube, that. But something that gets rid of Xur's problems. Anything that helps with stuff like that, I would pick quite highly, especially if I knew someone picked Xur or Bruna, where I just have to answer something. But I pick them higher than most, but I would say about midway through the pack, if there's nothing better for your deck, picking one up is a good option. Because it probably won't make it to the end of the pack, because someone will have picked it by then just to get rid of it, or because they needed it. I don't know. Wild Pear is in the cube, which is remarkably good. Birthing Pod was in the cube. Birthing Pod is still in the cube. Birthing Pod is okay, even if you accidentally forget you didn't have any 5-drops every once in a while. Which happens in normal cube all the time too. There's that awkward moment where someone sacrifices their 4-drop and realize, nope, I didn't actually pick Acidic Slime in the draft.
Have you, since it's, you know, I mean, you're always going to have more interesting cards than answers, have you noticed any sort of permanent type almost get out of hand where you may need to tamp it down a little bit, or has things been pretty balanced?
Honestly, the only thing that would get out of hand would be like enchantments like from Xur because he has that tutor ability, or maybe I don't know if there is anything for Momer to combo with in blue-green except for Mystic Snake, which honestly I would cut from this just because it's pretty unfun and not that useful in a normal game unless you're abusing it. Although I made the argument to cut Mystic Snake from normal cubes and got my head bitten off online, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
No, I think a couple of the old craggly cube dudes seemed to think that was okay to cut.
Was it Norbs that I was talking to where I was like, name how many decks you would play Mystic Snake in out of 10, given that you cannot say, well, there's always the Erratic Portal deck. And then someone else responded, but it's so good in the Erratic Portal deck.
I think I was part of it, but I can't really see cutting that card either. Like, it might not be the best blue-green card, but if you have, like, 7 total, what else can you put in? Like,
oh, yeah, but 7 is a lot for normal cube. I don't... Well, I run that now. Shit.
Did a Coiling Oracle make it in?
Coiling Oracle is amazing in EDH cube. I love that guy.
Yeah, Cassidy's so hard for that guy. Well, I actually did have an almost regular cube question. Is the eroded chaos orb in the EDH cube?
No, but I thought about it. I honestly would put it in if I like wanted to violate a real chaos orb, but I don't think it's worth it just for a proxy. If I violated a real chaos orb, I would do it though.
But you need the colorless Vindicate, man.
I know. It's honestly a good idea, because that's one of my issues with Magic in general. It's like, okay, so we're going to make the color pie and make it so 3 colors have no way to deal with enchantments. This will be really fair until you get into a format where you can't splash other colors in your deck. Magic had a really good idea, and then EDH came out, and then they were like, yes, this is a cool format, and we'll support it in any way except for breaking our color pie, because that would ruin real Magic.
So I've been kind of bogarting you pretty hard here. Do you, any of you guys have anything you want to bring up before we shut the show down?
Mostly it's just, like, why would you play the Commander Cube over a regular cube? You mentioned that it takes longer. Like, I mean, I've done first pick before. That's what we call it because we're old fogies, I guess. I don't know if a cube is exactly the same, but like, do you just play the commander cube just because you like commander better than regular cube, or is there some sort of like motivation besides that? Because locally, like, people are like, let's make a cube, and it's like, well, fuck that, let's make a commander cube, and they're like, what's that? And I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds like a lot more work. Fuck that, you know what I mean? So that's my kind of issue with it.
Yeah, I think commander cube versus normal cube, your playgroup has to like commander more. Mine does. I like normal cube more. So do a couple people in my playgroup. But I also have days where I'm just like, I don't want to play competitive Magic. I want to dirtle around for 12 turns. There are days where it's like I would play EDH cube all day and not touch my normal cube. And then there are other days where I'm like, let's just play normal cube 6 times. And I would do either of those over playing any other format, except maybe EDH if I'm not very time wealthy, that if I'm crushed for time that day. There we go. That's English.
Been in that Mexico too long.
Oh my God.
You're picking up that there Mexa-English.
Uh-huh.
Spanglish, right? Is
that what I was going to build one of those cubes, but I think it would just overlap too much with my normal cube. With my group, it's hard to even get regular cube going. Like, everybody wants to play EDH instead. They want to play with their own cards, I guess. I don't know if you ever get that with your play group.
I think with my play group, after having played the EDH cube, a lot of them would rather play EDH cube because we tend to power up our decks to the point where, like, it loses a lot of the EDH fun it used to have a couple years ago. Like, I guess most of you can relate by that. Like, it was more fun when you didn't know you had 6 combos in your deck. There's that certain power level balance that the EDH cube has where everyone's decks are always balanced with each other because of the design of it, where someone can't bring their 45 combo deck to the table and accidentally kill you, or someone can't bring turn 5 kill you with Jorkadeen and 100 tokens.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember when we started, like, my deck was made from my first Type 4 stack, so it was all, like, Mygens and, like, Krosis, all kinds of huge spells, and the game was long enough you could actually get those to work, but now it's, like, everyone's ramping so much, and the power level is so much higher, you can barely even play those kind of spells too much.
Yeah, that's a big part of the power down in EDH cube is there's one Soul Ring, which I would debate taking out if it wasn't for the fact that my playgroup requires there be a Soul Ring. And there's one command tower. There's one of each signet. There's one, any of the artifact ramp, there's only one of. Any of the green ramp, there's only one copy of. So there's a lot less turn 4 kill you because there's a lot less turn 1 soaring signet go. Like, you'll find games get a lot more fair when everyone is required to only put in one ramp spell or 2 ramp spells unless they're green. And then if they're green, they get probably 10, and that's it.
Do you have Sweet Stranglehold in there just to beat them down anyway?
Oh, yeah, Stranglehold's in there.
It's like, I guess red has so much room.
Like, I think Stranglehold makes the top 5 red cards easy. Like, I don't know what there is in red that's better than Stranglehold. Kiki-jiki. We got, let's see, Kiki-jiki.
Why don't they should just throw out a Kiki-jiki to be blue.
Right?
It would save everyone a lot of heartache, and they wouldn't have to play Civic or Izzet Colors to make a good deck. Just make them all blue. That's easier.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune, and that's like the whole list in red.
Gamble. Gamble's got to be pretty high.
Warp World. Yeah. What about a Warp World?
Fuck Warp
World. Oh, Warp World, no.
I
had Warp World in the first version of my cube. I saw it in the draft and was like, I'm going to hate draft this. I'm like, dude, it's like pick 3 of pack 2. Why are you hate drafting? He's like, because it's a Warp World. And I'm like, okay, that's probably leaving the cube. Like, there are just people who refuse to play with those type of cards, so I kept them all out of my cube. If it takes like 10 minutes to actually like cast the spell, it's probably not worth playing because it just pisses off half the people.
Thieves Auction.
The person who likes it is probably the social retard of the group.
Thieves Auction.
Yeah, that right there. That's
Goblin Game.
If casting the spell would reset the game on Magic Online, I didn't put it in my queue.
Well, what about Chaos Warp at least? Like, that's like
kind Chaos of Warp made it, and it's probably in my top 5 cards for red, which is sad because it's another utility card.
Yeah.
It's like basic removal spell, top five.
Bed. You're on Reverberate and like Wild Ricochet, Reiterate, yeah, and all
room,
those.
There's room for all of those in red.
Active Volcano.
Mana Geyser.
Mana Geyser didn't make it.
I love that one.
Yeah, that one's pretty good, especially since my playgroup used to always do the tap all your lands. Wait, that is Mana Geyser, right?
Yeah, five mana sorcery. Yeah.
That's the one where we always used to be like, quick, tap your lands.
Piracy.
Yep. Yeah, there's not much. I love Diochan. I didn't even, like, realize the card existed. Well, I did, but I didn't focus on the card's existence until I got one in that, from the Vault Commander.
Was that the red lady?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I love that lady. She is great, because a lot of the time, she's like a two-for-one, because you're going to pick that guy's bad dude, and then he's going to pick the guy that he got hit with last turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do revenge against you? You're running red. What are you going to have out?
Yeah, it's like, do I really want to get rid of Diochan because he destroyed one of my big-ass creatures? Or do I get rid of the other big-ass creature? Like, there's a certain difference when you're not playing two-player that Diochan becomes much
So, just to wrap anything up, is there anything you want to tell any future EDH cube makers out there?
Proxies are your friend. If you don't know how to proxy, the internet will tell you eventually. Don't ask on MTG Salvation. They banned it there. It's super easy. Yeah, I would not recommend building an unproxied EDH cube. Even mine has like 100 proxies right now. They're very, very expensive unless your EDH collection makes like Swords to Plows look like crap. Okay, he could build one, but most people's look like crap. Yeah, Sean's about the only person who could build one without a ton of proxies. I'd say if you were willing to proxy an eighth of your cube, you could build it if you're an experienced EDH player, just for your playgroup to play with. I would not ever, as a basic cube rule, play with strangers if you have anything worth more than $20 in your cube. There will always be the one person who would rather never go back to a shop than give up the chance to steal a $20 card. Like, that guy exists, and you need to never have a cube around him.
Magic players are pretty grimy.
Yeah, they're mostly bad people, so I would keep away expensive cards from them.
I always play with my backpack in my lap if I'm ever at a store or anything.
You must be listening to our show a lot.
Yeah, I remember Usman was talking about someone stole, like, his proxy plateau.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
Usman had a proxy and it fooled the guy into stealing it, and it didn't even look like the original card that he was stealing.
All right, kids. Well, if you are ever going to make an EDH cube, why don't you tell us about it? Because I love hearing about them. Email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com. You've survived episode 43, where I interviewed Dr. Ruler and some other people said some things. thanks for being on here. If you want to hit me up, I'm on Twitter at Christian Renault, or email the show, offcolorcast@gmail.com. I have Calvin dictate the emails to me. We'll let our man in the hour here go next so he can pimp whatever he wants and do whatever. Dr. Ruler, why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye to everybody. You can find me at Dr. Ruler on Twitter. I'm Dr. Ruler on TG Salvation. I've got real cube up there. I should eventually put my commander cube up there, but it takes a very long time, and I am very, very busy. That's about the only places you'll find me on the internet, because I don't venture there other than to make fun of Gudongs. I am on MTGO very occasionally. I love EDH, so you can hit me up if you find me on there. My name is Dr. Ruler. You're basically going to be looking for that name everywhere on the internet. That's about it.
All right. Old Reliable, Norbert, Johnny Boy, you want to say goodbye to everybody?
Okay. Hey, you can reach me on Twitter, at Norbert88. You can listen to me more than this episode on Jinx Idols, which is
pretty much
every week.
You talk more on than you've ever been edited into in Jinx Idols.
Occasionally on Commander Cast and Monday Night Magic whenever they're desperate for co-hosts.
Exceedingly desperate. All right, cool. Well, I guess we got to talk to the regular guys now. Hey, Cassidy, why don't you say goodbye?
I don't want to. Check out the articles on TCGPlayer.com and the Magic section. Pretty much the only card game that actually exists, if I'm not mistaken. And then I'm at Rider of Wrong on Twitter. And thanks, guys, for coming out and making it so I could do something else while we were podcasting.
All right, and now ready to talk more at the ending than he did the entire show. Calvin, why don't you say goodbye?
Hey, everybody, it's Calvin. I'm also known as Captain Red Zone on the internet. If you're looking for me, you can always type in Captain Red Zone basically anywhere you want, and chances are I'll pop up there.
Let me look at all the gay porn tubes and see what happens.
Yeah, that sounds pretty scary. Like, you're just gonna pop up if you type.
Like, in the middle of typing the name, I just show up behind you and just put my fingers down your back.
It's like, no, I meant Callan.
But, you can always find me over on Twitter at Captain Red Zone, Gmail, CaptainRedZone@gmail.com. There's Off Color Cast Facebook page, Facebook group, where we post the shows up and about when we go. For any of you who haven't really caught on yet, we are a bi-weekly show. Bi-curiously weekly show. So if you haven't heard anything from us, check back next week or the week after, something like that. Let's see, there's offcolorcast.com. There's Google Plus for the very bold and adventurous. Any other places we can think of? Oh, don't forget to check out the sidebars, Beardy Plays, and random things that go up there. Roughly everything I can think of at the moment. And chances are, by the time you guys hear this, you can probably listen to pretty much everybody on Off Color Cast on a different show somewhere. Because I think we've all recorded a different episode for something else, at least.
Not me.
Well, you need to, brother, because then you're like, this is like the only season of Commander Cast where you haven't actually been on without us.
Yeah, I probably won't.
It could be worse.
It could be this show.
Yeah, it could be this show. It
could be us. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I get props.
All right. Good night, kids. Bam. Night. Show's over.